Warning, the radio broadcast you're about to hear was made by men and for men. It may at times seem a little rough around the edges, brash, and certainly not canonically approved by papal authority. But its content may indeed challenge you to become the man, father, or husband God has called you to be. Listener discretion is advised. Welcome to another exciting and hour-long episode of The Obligation. My name is Jason Murphy, so glad to have you here. This week we are sitting down with Keith Nestor from Down to Earth Ministry. Keith is a convert, author, and one of the upcoming speakers at the Catholic Men's Conference of the Carolinas on March 5th. He's involved in many different ministries, including Catholic Feedback Podcast and Rosary Crew, a community dedicated to praying the rosary every day. He's a former pastor and youth pastor with more than 20 years in full-time ministry with the United Methodist Assemblies of God and Evangelical Free Churches. After a 20-year-long discernment process, Keith resigned his full-time ministry position and joined the Catholic Church. We're honored and privileged to have him here with us today. Well, Keith, thanks so much for joining us today. Look forward to chatting with you.
Oh, I'm happy to be here, Jason. Thanks for inviting me.
Absolutely. You know, super excited to have you on. March 5th coming up for the Catholic Men's Conference of the Carolinas. We've got you on board as one of our speakers. Just super excited to hear about more about your journey and share with the guys here in our diocese. One of our guys who's helped out with the men's conference, Jerry Nimberg, he actually mentioned that I guess he had heard or maybe had been to one of your talks, Marcus Grody's Journey Home program.
Yeah.
Remember that one?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I remember that one. That was a big honor for me to go there because that was a program that I had watched many episodes of when I was learning about Catholicism, even initially. So it was a real surreal experience to be sitting across from Marcus talking about that.
Where was that held?
Their offices are near Columbus, Ohio.
Okay. Awesome. Yeah. So Jerry mentioned that, and thankfully, you know, we were able to get you, and I know you got a great story to tell. I know a little about you. I've read up a little bit, and I got to say, you know, looking on your site here, I don't know if you're familiar with Mayhem from the Allstate commercial.
Yeah.
So I thought that was Mayhem at first. There's an image of you, I guess, on your site there, kind of banged up and bruised. Tell me a little bit about that image there.
So the way that came to be was, I was, you know, I used to be a photographer, and after I left my job in the ministry, as a pastor, my wife and I had a photography business, and we were working in the business one day, and this guy walked in off the street who I sort of knew who he was. He was a member of my old church, and he's a producer. He's like a video producer for, different like instructional videos for companies. And he said, "Hey, I'm doing a parody of Mayhem for this company in town. And I thought you would kind of look like him if we dressed you up like him. So would you be willing to come and read the script and let us film you for this company-wide industrial security video or whatever?" And I said, "Sure." So we had one of our makeup artists come in and do that. So I went and filmed that.
Okay.
And then I came back and I had to work the whole rest of the day. So I came back to the studio and my wife was like, "Oh, we have to take your picture." So she took my picture. And then it was kind of funny. I just left it all like that. And I worked the rest of the day looking like me. So people were coming in off the street, like, and I was just kind of like that. And everyone's like, "What is going on?" So I thought that was just kind of interesting in light of the journey sometimes it can be to make that transition and what it can be like when you're wrestling with God through things. So it just sort of became my trademark for a little while. I haven't used it too much in a while. It's my Twitter profile pic, but I haven't really used a whole lot of it since, because it's funny, you know, many people think of the Mayhem, but a lot of people don't understand any of it. They're like, "Why are you beat up? Did somebody hurt you?"
Well, I mean, it sort of does tell the story of a journey, of a Christian's journey in this world, for sure.
Kind of. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. So see, you got your battle beads there. I got mine sitting right next to me too.
Absolutely.
They're always right next to me. I know you've got kind of a rosary ministry that sure. you kind of began and tell a little bit about that. That's, I mean, the rosary obviously is just paramount to any Catholic's journey. And I know it saved me, many dark moments and many dark periods of my life that couldn't do anything but grab that rosary and just follow along, and let the Holy Spirit and Our Lady guide us. So I know that's an important piece of your journey as well.
Yeah. So when I first became or was, on the road to becoming Catholic, I'd already made the decision that I was coming into the church, but I wasn't sure quite yet what I was going to do with the rosary. And I decided to start praying the rosary every day just all by myself. And so I began to do that. And then in the pandemic, the very beginning of the pandemic, March of 2020, things were beginning to shut down. And I just did a little live stream on my YouTube channel at the beginning of the shutdown, just to kind of see how everybody was doing out there. And someone, I don't even know who it was, I can't even remember, someone commented in the live chat of the live stream, "Keith, we should do a rosary live on your channel tomorrow." And so I thought, well, I'd never led the rosary before, and I was really intimidated about doing it because I was still learning it, and I know there can be different variations, especially like some of the ending prayers and how you do different things. I thought, what if I don't do it right? But I thought, I can do this for 14 days. Remember when it was 14 days to slow the spread?
Yeah.
So I thought, okay, I'll figure this out. So the next day was March 18th, 2020. I jumped on YouTube and did this live stream praying the rosary, and we've never stopped. It's been this incredible thing. We're closing in on 2 years of every single day praying the rosary live on my YouTube channel. And it's gotten to the point where now we are broadcasting to multiple Facebook pages. I started a brand new YouTube channel that is just for the Rosary Crew. That's what we call it, the Rosary Crew.
Awesome.
My wife and I travel the country in our RV, which when we show up to your place, we're going to be driving the RV. We'll be arriving after having been gone for a month, going from city to city, praying the rosary and live streaming that every day. It's in 80 countries, and thousands of people every day tune into our rosary to do that. So it's just been an incredible thing that I never saw coming, but the Lord and Our Lady had a plan for what we were to do in 2020. Cause all of my, traveling and speaking basically shut down in one day, for a lot of people. This has become a huge component of our ministry, and I've seen miracles happen. I've seen it. It's just incredible, the community that we have around this, all over the world, praying the rosary every day. And I couldn't be happier.
Yeah, I mean, the rosary is so important to us Catholics. I know in my own journey, like I said, it was one of the only things I could do. I mean, because when you're in a dark place in your life and things aren't going well, and especially if you haven't been close to the church or any sort of faith, just grabbing that rosary and just having kind of knowing a little bit about it, just enough to kind of get going. The rosary we have, of course, we'll be doing at the men's conference. That's always part of our conference. And, our plan is to have, we're going to see if we can coordinate that, because I know you do it every day. So if there's some way that we can get that coordinated to where your daily cast of the rosary, I don't know if it time-wise and it works out. I don't know if it's a set time every day. But if that's possible, I think that would be pretty impactful. If that could be implemented somehow. So we're gonna explore that. And that's what, we really want to include that in the men's conference. I know for me, unlike you, it sounds like, and we're going to, hear talk about your story here pretty shortly. But for me, I was brought up Catholic. We were nominal Catholics. We went here and there. Of course, when we were out of town, we didn't go to Mass, and we might do, for sure Christmas and Easter, but for the most part, we were pretty nominal. And so divorce came to the family, and then just, how that story goes, and just kind of went off. And I, by the time I was in my mid to late teens, I had pretty much zero faith. And just exploring all sorts of other, crazy ideals and things out there. But, I ended up, meeting a friend, and, through that relationship, him and his mother, who actually just passed away this week, a big piece of my faith journey. Virginia McMahon, I've got to get a throw out to Virginia. This lady and her family welcomed me in, brought me in. Gave me a shelter for a while when I had no place to go. And they basically, taught me this rosary. And through this rebuilding of my own journey, in my late teens and early 20s, I eventually found my way onto like an Ignatian retreat.
Okay.
And one of the most impactful things in that, this past, almost 30-year journey of back, return to faith, was going on this 5-day Ignatian retreat up in Minnesota. And we went into the chapel, the first day we were there. And I was newbie coming off, just had recently made general confession and really started to understand some of the workings of the church, but I hadn't been around really anything up until that point. It was a silent retreat too. So, you talk about a 22 or 23-year-old coming straight out of the world and all the chaos and craziness to a 5-day all men's retreat. So the silence was one thing, which was super impactful. But when we piled into that little chapel, and for the first time in my life, I heard these men praying and this resounding voice of these men. I'm getting chills just talking about it. It was so impactful. It's something that we really don't get a chance to ever hear. But when it is there, that's why I know, like in the seminary, when the men pray together and when priests are, in communion together and they're able to, it's like no other, it's like nothing else. There's nothing else to compare it to. It's so impactful. So this rosary started, and I was in heaven. I mean, it was like, okay, there is something else going on here. And so the first couple days, and basically the guys would lead the rosary, each one would jump in and maybe lead a decade. And of course I wasn't interested at all in that, the first couple days. And then maybe the third or fourth day, there were usually like a little pause, but for whatever reason, and my heart was shaking and I was nervous as heck, there was a longer than usual pause. And I guess my guardian angel gave me a swift kick in the backside. And before I knew it, I was leading one of these decades and nervous, and my voice was probably shaking, but it was beautiful. And that made such an impact on me even to this day. That's why, getting involved with the Knights of Columbus, that was always something I always tried to push, when we got together, was praying the rosary and hearing the men pray together. Cause it's so important. It's such a beautiful thing. And, so I'm so glad that you've got that apostolate going, and it's so important for men. And it definitely, saved me many a days whenever I was in despair. I just grab onto that rosary and hold on and let Our Lady, take me. So very impactful.
Absolutely. I mean, it is definitely, as Padre Pio said, a weapon for our times. And it's changed my life completely to, you can become a Catholic when you're a Protestant, you go to become a Catholic and you think to yourself, okay, some of the things, that I've seen, like, am I going to do everything? Am I going to do all of the Catholic things? I mean, am I going to be one of those guys that prays the rosary? And you don't know that.
Yeah.
But then when you decide, and I remember feeling like, okay, I don't want to limit what I can do, or what God can do in me in this. I want everything that the Lord has for me in this. And that was one of the first things I grabbed a hold of. And it's incredible. That's usually when people talk to me and are like, hey, I want to grow my faith, or I'm struggling with this. That's sort of like, beyond the main things. Are you in a state of grace? Are you going to reconciliation? Are you receiving the Eucharist? Yeah, I'm doing all those things, but what do I need to do? I'm like, pray the rosary every day and watch what God does in your life. It's just an incredible thing.
It's great advice. We're going to go ahead and take a quick break. We're talking to Keith Nestor from Down to Earth Ministry, one of the speakers from the upcoming Catholic Men's Conference of the Carolinas on March 5th, and we'll be right back. Hi guys, this is Jason Murphy from the Obligation Radio Show here on the Carolina Catholic Media Network. Stay tuned over the next few weeks as I interview some incredible speakers, including several from the upcoming Catholic Men's Conference of the Carolinas on March 5th at St. Thomas Aquinas Catholic Church here in Charlotte. First up will be Father Colin Blatchford of the Diocese of Knoxville, who is the National Associate Director of Courage International. followed by Catholic convert and rosary warrior Keith Nestor of Down to Earth Ministry. And finally, everyone's favorite doctor, Dr. Ray Gurundy of EWTN and The Doctor Is In. We are excited to bring these renowned national speakers here to the Obligation Radio Show and the Diocese of Charlotte. Tickets are now on sale for the upcoming Catholic Men's Conference. Go online to www.catholicmenofthecarolinas.org and use the promo code RADIO to save $5. Stay in the loop and up to speed with everything going on in the Diocese of Charlotte here on the Carolina Catholic Media Network. Until next time, God bless and esto vir. All right, we're back with Keith Nestor, Down to Earth Ministry, here talking to us a little bit about his journey. Keith is with Down to Earth Ministry and the Rosary Crew. We've been talking a little bit about the importance of the Rosary, and like to kind of get into, you know, what led to your dedication to the Rosary, the Rosary Crew, and everything you have going now. You know, Keith, tell us a little bit about your journey, your conversion story. You know, how did that come to be?
Well, basically, you know, I was raised in a Methodist church. My dad is a pastor, or he's retired now. So I grew up going to church, but I had no understanding of Catholicism. Like, that was not on my radar at all. And not really until I was in ministry, working with a bunch of youth, and I met a guy who was Catholic. Now, my wife was raised Catholic, but she was one of those Catholics that never went, even though she was 12 years Catholic school in Philadelphia. Yeah. Yeah. So she had the whole deal, but like the family never attended Mass. Maybe Christmas and Easter, likely that was probably it. Faith wasn't a big deal to her. So when she met me and I said, hey, let's go to this church, she said, well, I'm Catholic. And I said, forget about that. You know, so I pulled her pretty much out of the Catholic faith, even though she had no real, connection to it beyond just going to school. And so to me, it was always like the Catholic Church was this thing that was disconnected from real Christianity, from evangelical Christianity, from Bible-based Christianity. Like, this is in my mind, and I had no desire to really ever explore it, because to me, it was pretty much the opposite of everything I was doing. So what happened was I finally met a person who was Catholic and on fire for his faith, who had all sorts of things to talk about with me that I had never even thought about or considered or even really knew. Because most people who are Protestants, who don't know a lot about Catholicism, the stuff that they do know is most of it, I'd say probably about 90% of it is just completely untrue.
Yeah.
And because we hear these narratives, you know, oh, well, Catholics worship Mary. Catholics don't care about the Bible. They don't really believe in a relationship with Jesus. I mean,
well, are you Catholic or are you Christian? That's what you
Yeah, hear. That's a question I hear a lot now too, is, yeah. Oh, well, I'm not Catholic, I'm Christian. Or I even hear some Catholics, unfortunately, say, well, I'm not Christian, I'm Catholic.
Right.
So we don't help ourselves when it comes to that in the Catholic faith. A lot of Catholics say and do just basically a lot of dumb stuff that leads to a lot of these Protestant misconceptions. I mean, I was talking to a guy yesterday who is thinking about joining the church, and his wife is really having a hard time with it, because all of her Catholic relatives, you know, they go to like psychics and mediums and stuff like that. And she's like, that's not in the Bible. But they, you know, there's a lot of people out there, Jason, that say, hi, I'm Catholic, but their lives and their beliefs have nothing to do with Catholicism. But here's the thing, right? I know I'm kind of getting off topic here.
No.
That's not just true of Catholics. That's true of Protestants too. It's true of everybody. A lot of people say, oh, well, yeah, I'm a Christian, but even if they're not Catholic, that doesn't really mean anything unless you really get to the heart of what they are. Because a lot of people say, well, yeah, I mean, I was a Methodist pastor, okay? And there were plenty of people in my town that claimed to be Methodists that never darkened the door of our church and that had no clue of what our church taught or what the Bible said or anything. So it's not just a Catholic thing, but it seems like it's especially a Catholic thing. So like a lot of other people, I had all these misconceptions. And when I met somebody who could not only explain them to me, but really challenge some of my thinking, it opened up this relationship that lasted, you know, many, many years until eventually I decided to convert. But it was a long process. It was a difficult process. I fought it almost every step of the way. And because, you know, when you're a pastor, there's a lot on the line there. And it's not just, oh, well, can I move from my contemporary worship experience to a liturgical worship experience? I mean, that's all there. But when it's your livelihood, your career, your job, your identity, it's a tough thing to do. And it took a lot of time for me, but eventually I came to a place where I knew the Lord was absolutely calling me into this, and I had to decide what I was going to do. And in 2017, I made the decision to resign my position and enter the Catholic Church.
That's beautiful. That's great. My wife actually converted prior to us getting married. You know, she was like, oh, I'll never be Catholic. You know, that'll never happen. And, you know, God obviously puts his target, you know, where he like, and he goes after. And certainly she not only became Catholic, she began teaching in a Catholic school, and we now have 6 kids, and you know, we worked in RCIA together. So God definitely hears what we say, and you know, we got man proposes and God disposes, right? So certainly interesting, you know, way that things work out. Now at the men's conference coming up, we have Tim Staples from Catholic Answers, and I think he's another convert, right?
Yeah. It's funny because so Tim was a youth pastor in Assemblies of God Church. I worked for an amount of time as an associate pastor in the Assemblies of God Church. So okay. While I was doing I'm kind of a mutt of Protestantism when it comes to what I've done. I spent most of my time in the Methodist Church, but I've also been in Evangelical Free Churches and Assemblies of God. So I've kind of been around. But yeah, Tim, it's funny because I went to hear Tim speak very early on in my exploration of Catholicism, because my friend that I was telling you about invited me to come to a parish mission where Tim was going to be the speaker. And I remember he showed up and he had this black shirt on with these big white letters that said "Proud to be Catholic." Hmm. And I remember I'm thinking, I got to listen to this guy, because I knew he had been an Assemblies of God youth pastor, and I was a youth pastor at the time. And I was like, all right, let's hear what he has to say. And, you know, I mean, we all know Tim is an amazing guy when it comes to his conversion and talking about the faith. So, I remember that from back in the early days of listening to Tim.
Yeah, that's great. I know, you know, converts certainly can be some of the best at, you know, evangelizing once they've come over to the Catholic Church. I mean, they're just on fire with it. And I mean, not necessarily just non-Catholic converts. I mean, I consider myself a convert, although, you know, baptized and brought up Catholic, I was pretty much nothing when I really understood the faith and was drawn to it, because I went to, you know, like your wife, 12 years of Catholic school, including 4 years of all-boy Catholic high school. Very good discipline, very good education. Yeah. But when it came down to the fact of the faith really being presented, and of course I had marks against me, you know, with things that in my life, so that maybe I wasn't as open as others, because certainly there's guys that I went to school with that are now priests. So I can't say it was necessarily the environment. I mean, I do think there were some things probably, you know, that could have been done differently, presented differently. And the church in the 80s certainly was going through some different, you know, tough times, in the 70s, of course. So I think the church is kind of finding her way back in a sense. Not that she ever was lost, but there was definitely a dark time for the church, you know, coming out of the 60s and 70s. And So I'm very thankful. I found my way through the traditional Latin Mass. Thanks be to God. You know, it was available where I was. It led me on a vocation discernment for several years, and finding myself in a traditional seminary for a period of time. Came out and met my wife, you know, later in that fall. So I'm forever grateful for that journey, because I wouldn't have had the time of formation. So Lord knows the time I spent doing all the horrible things in my teens and 20s, I needed that isolation time. And you know, I think, you know, having, you know, being basically torn all the way down and rebuilt back up with good formation and good, you know, foundation of faith, it's such a blessing. And I'm forever grateful to go that, you know, down that journey. You know, through that, you know, getting back involved, you know, now we're at our local parish. And, you know, got involved with the Knights of Columbus. That was sort of a springboard to, you know, meeting other guys and finding that fellowship, you know, that I kind of longed for. And, you know, through the Knights of Columbus, we established the men's conference, and it's been going, you know, 12 years strong. So it's a great apostolate here in Charlotte. Really looking forward to, you know, the guys coming together. We, last year, like you said, you started the Rosary Crew, right? You know, you said March 18th is actually my birthday, because it was, we barely squeezed it in. We squeezed it in by either about a week or 2 weeks. I have to look back and see what the 2020 date was. It was right around, no, I think it was maybe the week before my birthday. So the pandemic, it was 2 weeks after the men's conference. And then, you know, so thankfully we were able to squeeze it in. And last year we, you know, went back and forth, and thankfully the bishop gave us the nod, and our chaplain, Father Rue, gave us the nod, and we were able to pull it off. So we're looking pretty good, you know, excited this year. And I feel like, you know, we'll have a good turnout. So excited to have Tim Staples and yourself there. And we've got Dr. John Acquaviva. He hosts Faith and Sport here on the Carolina Media Network as well. I think I may have told you we've got Dr. Ray Gurundi this year. So,
that's awesome. Yeah.
So I'm super excited. We had Dr. Ray at our second men's conference, about the second one, maybe 10 years ago, 11 years ago. So he's coming back. So I think we have a great lineup for sure. So your journey brought you back, or brought you to the faith. And then from there, down to Earth Ministry. And then shortly after your conversion, I guess you got into, you wrote a book, right?
Yeah. So when I like, the hardest thing for me to actually finally convert wasn't about objections and doctrines. I'd worked through that stuff for years. Okay. Like everybody, you come to the conversation of Catholicism, and you've all, you know, every Protestant's got something that they are like hung up on, whether it's purgatory, Mary, the saints, whatever it is. Okay. The Eucharist, baptism. I had all of that stuff too. And I had spent all these years working through those things. And I'd finally got to a point where I was like, okay, in my heart and in my head, I know Catholicism is true, but do I have, you know, the courage to leave behind the practical things of life, you know? And that was the hardest part. And the biggest thing, it wasn't, well, what am I going to do for money, you know, or whatever. It was more like, I've been in ministry for over 20 years, and it's who I am. It's what I love to do, and to leave that behind is a difficult thing. And when I finally was able to surrender that to the Lord, I didn't do so under the condition of, well, okay, God, I'll become Catholic, but you have to give me a Catholic ministry. I'll become Catholic, and then in my mind start going, how do I turn this into a new ministry? A lot of people do that, and I'm not here to judge anybody else's journey, but I talk to a lot of guys who are maybe in ministry in the Protestant world, and they're going to become Catholic. And the first thing that they're thinking, some of them before they even become Catholic, they're already planning out their YouTube channel, their podcast, their book, their conversion, this, their, all of that. That wasn't on my radar, because to me, that was part of what I was sacrificing was I don't know what's going to happen, Lord, but I'm willing to give all of this up if that means to be in your church. And I was working through that with my priest, and he said to me, Keith, I'm going to leave you alone for a year when it comes to doing anything like that. He said, don't even think about it. Just be Catholic. And that, Jason, was probably the best thing he could have ever said to me, because when you're new to the Catholic faith, you need to just rest. I mean, it's been a battle to get there, and you finally have made the decision. You've gone through what it takes to come through there, and you just need to let the Lord minister to you in the Mass and in the faith. You don't need to become like a teacher of the faith. You need to be a student. You need to be a learner. You need to just receive. And that's what I did. So I never planned on doing any of this stuff. And what happened was, after the first year of doing that, I was fine. I really was. I was very thankful to just be a guy who was Catholic. And my wife was always encouraging me, though. She's like, you need to be giving talks. You need to, you know, I thought that there would be things for you. And we sort of, the two of us kind of would go back and forth on that. Well, I kind of had this semi, I would call it a miraculous experience one day, when just out of nowhere, I was given the idea for a book by the Lord. Just boom, out of nowhere, it just hit me like a ton of bricks. And it was called, I had the title of the book like in my hand, like it was right there. It was called, or in my head, it's called The Convert's Guide to Roman Catholicism, Your First Year in the Church. Hmm. And I thought to myself, and it was literally a week after my first year had been completed. And I thought, I've read a lot of books about why you should become Catholic. I've read a lot of books about Catholicism. I've read a lot of books about, the things you need to know to be Catholic. But I hadn't ever seen or read any books about what it's like to be Catholic. Now, that might seem like a weird distinction, Jason, but it's a real distinction, because you can learn all this stuff in your head and you can be convinced of it, but that's a different thing from the experience of making the conversion from being Protestant to being Catholic. And so I wrote this book that's like a real down-to-earth walkthrough as a new convert. What should you be doing in your first year? What should that first year look like? So everything from how do you tell your friends that you're and your family that you're becoming Catholic? What should you do? What should you not do? Yeah. How do you find a local church to attend? Which devotions should you pray or participate in your first year? Because here's the thing. When you become Catholic, everyone is coming up to you, throwing this devotion at you, that devotion at you. You need to do this. You need to do that. And you want to do all the things, but it's so overwhelming. Absolutely. It can be tough to know what to do. And you can easily get buried in all of the books, all of the prayers, all of the devotions. And so what I wanted to do is just sort of say to people, hey, year one, here are the things you should be looking at and working through. And so I wrote this book. I completely self-published it. I didn't send it to any publishers or anything like that. I just made it myself through Amazon and through that. And then I gave a talk at my church after my first year. My priest was like, all right, I think we're ready to hear your story, you know? So I gave my talk at the church and it got put on YouTube, and then it kind of just ballooned from there to people heard this. And then next thing I know, I was going on the journey home with Marcus Grody, and then getting all these invitations to come and speak and to write, and the book started doing pretty well. And that just opened up a lot of doors. And then I started making more videos on YouTube. And that is ultimately what led me to this place of starting this ministry Down to Earth, where I thought, okay, I need to take this more seriously now. This is like a thing. And I really felt like the Lord was saying to me, now is the time, you know, I'm not done with you yet. You gave up that ministry to come into my church, and now I'm going to use you in a different way. So it was really like one of those moments where I felt like I had to be willing to give everything up to the Lord, kind of like I'm not trying to compare myself, but like an Abraham Isaac moment, where it's like, are you willing to sacrifice that thing that's so precious to you so that God can do what he wants to do in you in a new way? So that's how it happened for me. I didn't have like strategy or a plan or anything like that. I just was willing to lay everything down for the Lord. It took me a long time to get there. Okay. But that's where I had to be. And I tell people all the time, like, look, when you're ready to make the conversion to Catholicism, you have to do it without any strings attached. You can't say, well, I'll be Catholic, but I have to have A, B, Z, and whatever already lined up. And I have to, here's my plan for how I'm going to turn this into a ministry or a job. Forget all that. Just focus on Jesus. Focus on what it means for you to come into the church and experience it for that in and of itself. You know, I had this very real moment. I'll talk about this at the conference, where I was face to face with the Lord and I said, God, I'll become Catholic, but you've got to make a way. And the Lord spoke to me and he said, I am the way, the truth and the life. You don't need me to make a way. You just need me. And that was the night, man. I was like, boom, okay, I'm doing this. Because the hardest part for me, there's so many of us, so many converts or potential converts that are at that point, Jason, of like, I'm ready to take the leap. I'm ready to do everything, but there's something holding me back that I'm not quite ready to either sacrifice or suffer. Yeah. Maybe it's a problem in their family. Maybe it's an issue with the job. Maybe it's something they have to deal with in their marriage, you know, and there's something that they're like, I want to be Catholic, but there's this situation or this circumstance that's holding me back. And that comes to us all in different reasons. And what I find to be the case is it comes to all of us, even if when we are Catholic, God is always calling us into a deeper level of discipleship and obedience, but we've always got that thing that we're holding on to that it's sort of like our rich young ruler. Okay, but let me first go do this.
Absolutely.
And what God is calling each of us into is to let go of that, to lay that down. And when we do, it's almost like on the other side of our obedience, there's this tremendous blessing that's there. Now, yes, suffering will come. Yes, hardship will come. I experienced all of that. and everybody will. But the beautiful thing about the Christian faith is our God brings us joy, not by removing us from suffering and hardship, but by working in us to walk with us through that and chiseling us and creating us as saints, refining us, regenerating us into who he's created us to be through those difficult times. And if we are always worried about, I'll follow you, Jesus, but only if I'm free from all that stuff, then we'll never become what he wants us to be.
Absolutely. Yeah. We're going to take a quick break. You're listening to Keith Nestor here on the Obligation Podcast. You know how guys are. We wait to the last minute to do anything, whether it's Christmas shopping, birthdays, anniversaries. You know how we do it. We wait to the very last minute. Well, it's coming. Catholic Men's Conference of the Carolinas, March 5th, 2022. St. Thomas Aquinas Catholic Church is just a few short weeks away. Need you to get out there and get those tickets, man. Need to see you in those seats. We have an incredible lineup, including Keith Nestor from Down to Earth Ministries. We have Dr. Ray Gurundy from EWTN's own The Doctor is In. Catholic Answers, Tim Staples, apologist, speaker, author, and our own Dr. John Aquaviva from Faith and Sport here on the Carolina Catholic Media Network. Join Bishop Jugas and the priests and seminarians of the Diocese of Charlotte for a day of fellowship and prayer. Confessions will be heard all day. Gentlemen, this is a great reset. If you've pulled away, gotten lazy, need a kick in the bottom, need to get back moving in the right direction, this is what the Catholic Men's Conference of the Carolinas is all about. Go online right now, www.catholicmenofthecarolinas.org. Use the promo code radio and save $5, and we will see you there. Be a better father, be a better husband, be a better Catholic, be a better man. God wills it. God bless, and esto vir. We're back with Keith Nestor from Down to Earth Ministry, speaker to the upcoming Catholic Men's Conference of the Carolinas, been talking about resigning ourselves to God's will and trusting in his way. Keith, these are such important things for Catholics and or Christians, anyone, you know, seeking our Lord to find their way. I remember one of the most impactful moments I ever had in prayer. I was going through a difficult moment period of my life, and one of the good deacons here at our church, he said, just go and sit. And don't say a word. And I remember that. And that's been probably at least 10 years ago. And I remember like it was yesterday. And I remember just sitting there right there on the carpet in front of the tabernacle. The tabernacle wasn't quite in the sanctuary at that point in time. It was kind of off to the side. And I just fell down. I sat there and what I got from that, you know, 20 or 30 minutes of just shutting my mouth and everything in my mind and just listening, it made such a difference. And one other time, you know, just those moments like that where we resign and listen. I remember I was in prayer and I was telling God about all these things and I need help with this and this, that, and the other. And the only thing I heard back, I don't hear our Lord speak to me very often, but I did that time. He said, let me. That's all he said. And I'm sitting there saying, I need this and I need that and I want this and this is going on. And you know, I need your help with it. Let me. That's all we got to do is let him. But you know, it's like when you have a handful of sand, the harder you squeeze that sand, the more sand is going to come out. But if you just kind of cup your hand, the sand will stay exactly where it is. But when you start to squeeze it, that sand, you know, begins to pour right out. So definitely got to, you know, resign ourselves and listen and trust, you know, trust in him, because that's, he waits for us. He waits for us just to kind of close it and listen. I know as a convert, you know, finding my way and finally, you know, getting back into practices of the church, like you said, you know, you start hearing about all these devotions and all these prayers and we have to be careful because, you know, it can, like you said, it can be overwhelming. And, you know, us Catholics, we're very good with guilt. And we can start to guilt ourselves. Well, I didn't make it through these prayers. And then it's all about, you know, getting through the checklist. And it's mm-hmm. and it's becoming, you know, this structured thing. And that's not how we are really called to pray. Yes, we're, you know, the rosary is a structured prayer, but it's not about just repeating the words. It's about really diving into the life of our Lord and meditating on each mystery. And yes, we say the Hail Mary, and that kind of keeps us online. It keeps us kind of in the direction, but the human mind and the human soul are very capable of doing, you know, multiple things at once. And that, you know, when you have the body engaged, the soul and the mind are, you know, they sort of, you know, are able to kind of follow along, but they're a lot more imaginative than, you know, just the verbal side and the repetitive side. And I think a lot of people miss that with the rosary. Oh, it's just, you're just rattling off. And I know, you know, non-Catholics who don't understand, or even a lot of Catholics, you know, they just think it's nonsense. It's just a, you know, we're just like droning off, you know, prayers and these litanies and you know, there's a lot more to it, you know, really understanding the prayer and diving into that prayer. And I remember, you know, one priest gave me a homily on the rosary, and he talked about really go into the each mystery and thinking about, and the one that I remember most clearly was the nativity. And, you know, just think of the chill that might have been in the air at that night, and think of the smell of the animals and the crunch of the straw under the feet and the baby, you know, the small, you know, sounds of the child Jesus, and maybe there's some murmuring of the shepherds in the background, you know, bring yourself there. We have to do that in prayer. You know, the way the cross is a wonderful example of that, where we can follow along each station. You could take one station and really spend a whole lot of time, just one station. But that's how we need to handle the rosary. So I'm so glad that you've taken that on.
Yeah. You know, Jesus said, to, you know, avoid vain repetitions. And we always get accused of that, you know, oh, rosary, vain repetitions. And what I say, you know, what do you say when Jesus, you know, you shouldn't pray the rosary because of vain repetitions? I said, well, I agree with Jesus that we shouldn't have vain repetitions. So when you pray the rosary, don't pray it in vain. You know, it's not the repetition part that Jesus is coming down on. It's the vain part. Because there's repetition all over the scripture. I mean, in the Psalms, there's repetitious prayer. There's that in the New Testament, you know. So we see that's fine. It's the vain part. And that's really up to each of us to decide. You can't say that a prayer like the rosary in and of itself objectively is vain repetition. Because vanity and vain repetition, that goes to the personal disposition of the person praying. So, you know, that's up to us to make sure that we do that with all of our heart and with love and with the desire to worship and to hear from God. And that's the key, you know, so we have to make sure that we do that. And unfortunately, you know, a lot of people, they pray it in kind of a robotic way. And, you know, they're just, it's sort of just like this droning thing. And, you know, whatever, I'm just saying, like, I can't judge another person's heart as for whether right. they're praying with the vain repetition or not. I'm just saying, don't do it. You know, pray it with passion and with love, and you'll experience great things.
Yeah, 100%. We'll take a break and be right back with Keith Nestor here on The Obligation Show.
Did you know that 90% of older adults wish to stay in their home as they age? Aging in place has many benefits. It tends to improve quality of life, which in return improves physical health. Also, retaining independence as we age is critically important to our mental health. Hi. My name is Meredith Dignan, and I am the president of Harmony Home Solutions and an active parishioner of St. Patrick Cathedral. We are your trusted partner for aging in place. We strive to enhance the lives of older adults and their families by providing premier aging in place and universal design lifestyle solutions that increase safety beautifully. Now is the time to get your aging in place plan in order with Harmony Home Solutions. Visit our website today at hhsclt.com. Again, that's hhsclt.com. Or give us a call at 980-220-8821. Again, that's 980-220-8821. We want to help you live an empowered and beautiful life.
Welcome back to The Obligation. Today we're sitting down with Keith Nestor. Keith will be one of our speakers at the upcoming Catholic Men's Conference on March 5th. Keith is a convert and also the author of The Convert's Guide to Roman Catholicism. The Convert's Guide is a book written to help new converts to the Catholic Church as they take their first steps into their new faith. In his down-to-earth, humorous, and practical style, Keith Nestor tackles various topics and situations faced by new converts, such as how to come out as a Catholic, how to find a local church, what it's like for a former Protestant to worship as Catholics, and much more.
My book is for people who have already made that decision, and now they're working on what it looks like to come into the church. Now, there are some apologetics type things in the book as I help people get over some of the practical realities. For example, I have an entire chapter called The Mary Stuff. And that chapter is about how a new convert enters into a Marian devotion, coming from a place where that was completely discouraged. So that's because that's a tough thing for converts. It's kind of like if you go over to your friend's house and you meet his mom, the first time that you meet his mom, you're probably calling her ma'am. You're very reserved. You're very like on your guard. But once you get to know her like very well and she's open and hospitable to you, you're going over to her house, you're going through the fridge, you're talking to her like, you know, in a different way. Like for converts, they don't know what to do with that. So I have a chapter on, okay, how do you make that transition from being someone who only thought about Mary at Christmas to now, you know, we have all of these Marian devotions. Yeah. So there are some apologetic things in the sense of helping people understand what they're doing, but I'm not like going through and knocking objections down. I'm already presuming that they've already made that decision. So I make that clear distinction even in the beginning of the book. This is not an apologetic book. This is not some theological manifesto. And that's why I say this is a different kind of book than anything I'd ever seen before, because everything I'd ever read as a potential convert was one of the two. It was either like a theological explanation of the Catholic faith, which is very healthy and helpful, or it was a, you know, an apologetics book on why you should become Catholic, or let me explain to you the misconceptions. But what I never saw, and maybe it's out there, I don't know. I never saw like a, okay, you know, you're going to be Catholic. Here's what you need to do in the beginning, and here's how this is going to be, and here's what it's going to feel like, and here's some of the baggage you're probably going to bring with you and how you can work through that. And also, it's almost like a little bit of a translation guide. Like, here are some of the things the Catholic Church does that you're going to see, and you're not going to understand what that means. Like, I'll give you a quick example. When I first became Catholic, everyone's always talking about their prayer intentions, okay? The prayer intentions. We never used that word in the Protestant world. We always talked about your prayer requests. So when I would say to people, okay, here are my prayer requests, they would ask me, okay, well, we're going to pray for the Pope's intentions, or pray for his intentions, or pray for your, I was like, what are they talking about? What do they mean intention? Yeah. Like, oh, well, that's just a word that means prayer requests. You know, there are a lot of things like that culturally that are different. Like, here's another one. Like, why in the Catholic Church is there a higher emphasis placed on kids being in the mass versus being taken out to like a children's church or a nursery or something like that? When we were starting to go to mass, we were sort of thrown off by all of the kids in the service and all of the noise and everything like that. And we were like, why don't they have a nursery? Why don't they do something with the babies? Why don't, you know, why are they always in here? We're trying to listen. We're trying to learn that. So I had to learn and understand there's a theological and practical reason for that. So it's kind of like those things that as Protestants we've experienced in our worship services and in our faith that are just different when you're a Catholic. Yeah. And talking and walking through that. Now, what's interesting is I've had so many cradle Catholics tell me that they love this book, that they're like, oh, I didn't think this book was for me, but I read it because I was wanted to see what it was about. And this book helped me understand so many things and helped me think about my faith differently. And like, so I get a lot of encouragement from cradle Catholics when they read the book. It's not just for those people, but I think that it's important for people to understand, like, what am I trying to accomplish with this book? It makes a great book for like an RCIA candidate or someone who's first coming into the church, like a gift when someone joins the church, that type of thing. But it will also help people who are thinking about it, because you're going to see how I worked through some of those things. I interweave my own story in this book, and I talk about how I encountered some of these difficulties and how I was able to work through them, because my goal for this book is to help people not just make it through their first year, but to thrive and to have an incredible experience as a new Catholic. so that they can continue to see that grow from there.
Now that's excellent. How I would imagine in your prior to conversion to Catholicism, was there any sort of communion service that was done? I know some of the
absolutely all the time. Yeah.
And so I guess I imagine it probably was looked at the way I looked at communion, you know, before I really, you know, began practicing my faith. It was just kind of a symbolic, nice thing you did to, you know, remember, you know, the Last Supper perhaps, or how was that viewed? And then how did, you know, how did your eyes get open to really understanding, like, this is truly the body, blood, soul, and divinity of our Lord Jesus Christ?
Well, in the United Methodist Church, communion is called a sacrament. Okay. But it's not viewed as a sacrifice. It's not viewed as the literal body and blood of Christ. We kind of go down the road of saying, well, Christ is present in some kind of mystical way, but it's a memorial. But it was never, practically speaking, it was never looked at like that. Because, you know, if that is truly the body and blood of Christ, then what do you do with it once the service is over? And the answer was, you throw it away. Hmm. Which you don't do that if you really believe that's Jesus. Okay. Sure. There was absolutely no type of fence around the service of communion in terms of who can receive communion. We practiced open communion, and we were very proud of that. It was like, hey, well, the Catholics are so closed off, but we here, we're open. We don't care whether you belong to this church or any church, or whether you even really believe in Jesus. If you just want to come and experience this, you're welcome. So we had no concept of, you know, what St. Paul talks about of examining yourself and receiving unworthily. That just wasn't on the map. Okay. So that's some practical things, because it was viewed really as just sort of a memorial meal, a remembrance, not a participation in something, you know, divine or real from the standpoint of the presence of Christ.
Right.
So that's kind of the Protestant way of looking at it for the most. Now, whenever you say that, you have to remember there's no one Protestant way. There's as much variety in Protestantism as you could find. You'll find Protestants that do believe it's the real body and blood of Christ, but they don't believe what the Catholics believe about it. So you know, it's very open.
Yeah.
So for me to come to the place where I believed in the real presence of Christ, that was actually one of the first things that I encountered where I was like, okay, wow. And of course, it's looking at John chapter 6. And recognizing what Jesus said in light of how that has been interpreted by the church fathers and how that had been the universal teaching of the church for all of these years until it was, you know, not really formally challenged, you know, on a large scale until the Reformation. So those are the types of things that, you know, whether it's the Eucharist, baptism, whatever, when you start to connect what the Bible says with what the early Christians believed and then what the church practiced up until X point in time in history, you come to a point in time, Jason, where you say, well, if this is what was believed by the earliest Christians, it's in the scriptures, and we go all the way up until this particular point in time, what's the deal with that? Why did that change? But the problem that a lot of us Protestants had, and I know I certainly had, was we don't view it that way. We thought the default position of Christianity was our Protestant position. Mm-hmm. And that the Catholics somehow innovated and changed everything, whether it was at the Council of Trent or some other time in the Middle Ages or even, you know, later on in history. We looked at that and said, well, we have the true faith of the apostles and the Bible, but the Catholics changed it somewhere along the way. And when you realize that that's completely false and that the opposite is true, that the Catholic position is the default Christian position and the Protestants were the ones that innovated, that's when you have to start coming to grips with that in a new way. And once that happens, it's sort of just like one by one, you go through this list of objections and issues and you go, yeah, okay, if I want to, you know, follow the faith that was passed down from Jesus to the apostles, then I need to rethink some of these things.
In a world where, you know, less than half of Catholics actually believe in the real presence, for someone to be drawn, you know, from another religion to, you know, that belief and that knowledge of the the real presence, it's obviously a true calling. Our Lord, you know, certainly reaching out, because that is it's a tragedy in today's church, you know, where it is kind of, and for me, I know growing up, that was how I think I, you know, it was kind of presented, and, you know, I may have missed it, but I know that it was more of a symbolic, you know, it wasn't, you know, it wasn't the sacrifice of Calvary. It was just something, you know, that a memorial. And I think that unfortunately, you know, that's where a lot of Catholics are. So it's important that, you know, we all, you know, whether, you know, converts or brought up Catholic, you know, really getting that message out and giving that testimony, because that's the essence, that's the source and summit, you know, of our Catholic faith. So very important, to really continue to teach and impress that upon, you know, our fellow Catholics, and of course, our, you know, non-Catholics as well. So, man, I think we're getting close to our time, but I really appreciate you taking the time to be here. If guys wanted to read up a little bit more about you and, you know, learn about the Rosary Crew or get their hands on your book, what would be the best way for them to get in touch?
Well, my website is downtoearthministry.org, and the two is the number two. So down the number two, earthministry.org. I'm very active on YouTube. So if you just go to YouTube and search Keith Nestor, you'll find me. I do a lot of things on that channel. I do a weekly Bible study through the readings of the Mass called Unpacking the Mass. I have a podcast called Catholic Feedback, but the website and the YouTube channel is kind of the main hub for all of these things. So that'd be the good place to go. And the book is available there. It's also on Amazon too. So you can check it out there.
Busy man.
Indeed. But I'm excited to come to North Carolina. We're looking forward to it. We're going to be leaving here the first part of February to begin our journey to you guys about a month ahead of time. We're going to be going down through Kentucky and Georgia and Florida and then up through South Carolina and then into North Carolina to do the conference. So we're going to take advantage of the time to head down that way and get out of this freezing cold weather that we're in up here in Iowa.
Yeah, you'll see some beautiful country, that's for sure.
I love it. I've been to North Carolina once before. It was beautiful. I loved it.
Yeah, very nice. Kind of very moderate seasons, so not too far extreme. We had a little bit of snow last week. It's still a little bit left on the ground, but it's pretty much gone. And I have a feeling it'll be all gone by the time you make it here. So I think you'll enjoy that.
Lord. Yeah.
It'll be an early spring. So yeah, make sure guys, you know, want to hear more about Keith Nestor, make sure to check out his website, grab that book, and we'll see him on March 5th at St. Thomas Aquinas Catholic Church. And Keith, once again, I really appreciate you coming on The Obligation, and we look forward to seeing you soon.
It's my pleasure. Thanks for having me, Jason.
Yeah, absolutely. God bless. If you enjoyed this conversation, make sure to check out all of the Carolina Catholic Media Network content at www.carolinacatholicradio.org. Our station provides some of the most local content than any other Catholic radio network in the United States. If you haven't checked out The Remnant, make sure you give those guys a listen. Join hosts Stephen Thomas, Bill Snyder, and Ray Haywood as they tackle current events that challenge our wills and our Catholic faith through three generations of thought-provoking discernment. Of course, make sure to check out Faith and Sport with Dr. John Aquaviva. Dr. John will be one of our keynote speakers at the upcoming men's conference. All you got to do to get this great content on the go is download the Carolina Catholic Radio app and listen to it anytime you'd like. And streaming online at www.carolinacatholicradio.org. Our speaker series continues next week with Dr. Ray Gurundi. And followed after that, we'll have Tim Staples from Catholic Answers. So make sure to tune in for all of these great interviews for these speakers that'll be at the Catholic Men's Conference of the Carolinas in March. Tickets are on sale now at www.catholicmenofthecarolinas.org. Make sure to use that promo code radio and save yourself $5. For the Obligation Radio Show, the Catholic Men's Conference of the Carolinas, and the Carolina Media Network, my name is Jason Murphy. God bless, and esto vir.